Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Sometimes I climb so far, only to backslide. Lord, I may be sliding back, but I will not abandon you.
Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we ask you, Lord, to speak to everyone who listened to this teaching, that your Holy Spirit will open the eyes of their spirit to understand deeply inside their heart the revelation of God, the heart of God. Father, may nothing block the spiritual ears, spiritual eyes, and the understanding of the heart of your people at this time, Lord, in this session. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. We are in the series of the ministry of helps. I noticed one thing in being a pastor for many years, that sometimes you teach something, you think that people really get it. But in fact, people don't get it. And that's why I emphasize again that sometimes you may need to get the CD and listen again, number one. Number two, making sure that everybody that you love in this church get the CD and listen again. Why? It is like that because the truth, the things of God in the church is a spiritual thing. And we are human beings. We are in a natural realm. We're living in the physical dimension. Because we are living in a physical dimension and we are exposed to physical thing all day long. The thing we can see with our physical eyes, we can smell, we can touch. So many times when you try to grab the truth and the heart of God, the idea of God or the truth of God, your physical capacity or physical ability cannot fully grab the idea and the thoughts of God. That's why God needs to use your ear to speak to you again and again, pounding into your spirit, until you really, really get it. I want to emphasize again that the church, the Christianity, the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. So we need to understand the spiritual implication and the spiritual things of God instead of looking at things from only the natural way and the worldly way on the secular way. Actually, I mentioned to you many times that lately God, every day, God spoke to me. When I read the Bible, I spend devotion time. Every time I read the Bible, God speaks like this to me. It's interesting. God say, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. Be careful. Don't use secular thinking and worldly thinking to try to work it out in my kingdom. You need to really understand the principle of the kingdom of heaven and really grab a hold of the heart of God, which is a spiritual thing. You notice that's why Jesus was not very popular at the end. That's why Ezekiel was rejected. That's why Christianity, many times the Bible say, like, what Pastor Sisson say is a narrow gate, narrow way. Because people are not spiritual. Most of the time people are very carnal and natural. You need to always remember that I am a spiritual person. And I want to understand God from spiritual perspective, not just natural or worldly perspective. Amen. I just want to give this as an introduction. And I want you to who listen to this teaching to listen really carefully. Don't have this kind of attitude. Oh, I know all of this thing. I heard this 10 times. Believe me, there are many deeper things that God can speak to you, not through my mouth, but speak to you directly by His Spirit. While I'm talking, if you open your spirit up and let the Holy Spirit speak to you, He can speak to you something that I don't even speak from my mouth. And you will come like, ooh, wow, I get it. So don't treat the Word of God like, or the teaching in the church from the pastor like something casually. You need to really pay attention to what the Spirit of God wants to say. I want to read the scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're talking about the ministry of helps. 1 Corinthians 12, 18 to 20. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. You can see here that it's so beautiful in the local church that God, from His will and purpose, set each and every one of us to be different organ of the body, different part of the body. Therefore, we should not criticize one another what another person is doing. We actually should work together as a team and value what God called that person to do. Therefore, you need to understand that not everyone is ordained or anointed to be pastor, teacher, prophet, evangelist, and apostles. Actually, they are rare in the body of Christ. I mean, I'm not saying rare, but relatively a minority group of people. The pastor, the real pastor, the real prophet. But most people are in the ministry of serving and the ministry of helps. And not only that, even though some of you may be called to be a pastor one day, and I pray and pray that many of us in this church one day become a pastor and teachers and evangelists in the body of Christ one day. I don't know who that, I never thought that Pastor Noom going to be a pastor. Never have the idea. But God picked him, chose him, and anointed him. Amen. And it's amazing God can use a simple man like that if He picked and chooses that man, okay? But in order to get to that point, one thing that God wants to see is that you are faithful in doing what God calls you to do now. God cannot bring promotion to you if you are not faithful in doing what God calls you to do now. So actually, everyone in the local church starts from ministry of help. Amen. You cannot just say, oh, I graduate from a Bible school, or I just finished the class called pastoral ministry. So I come out, I'm going to preach now. I'm going to become a pastor. No. Everyone have to go through the process of training by God. Amen. And when the right time comes, God will lift you up, and then you will be able to minister in that capacity. So, according to 1 Corinthians 12 that I read a while ago, you can see that every believer in the body of Christ has a role to play. And we need, and not only role, but position. Role and position. I'll explain to you later on. But not everyone is called to be in charge. Okay? Not everyone is called to be in charge. And sometimes God may call somebody to be in charge that in your eyes they look less wise. They are not as smart as you are. You need to understand that. In the secular thinking, oh, the one who is in charge must be smarter than me, must be more capable than me, or more organized, more this and that. But actually, God sometimes use people who are not as smart as you to be in charge and to be your leader. So you need to understand God's way are not your ways. That's why, you remember Aaron and Miriam. got into trouble because Miriam and Aaron thought, "Oh, I'm smarter than you. Who you are, Moses? How can you lead us?" They got into trouble. So it's one. You cannot do secular thinking to compare yourself with leadership and say, "I'm smarter than you. I have more education than you." Shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. No, it's about what? God's appointment. I remember many years ago when we started a church, a group of people began to claim that I'm a real pastor here. Pastor Lau is not. And he is not smart. He doesn't know what he's doing. But from heaven, God say, "I'm sorry, I picked him, not you. It doesn't matter. I picked him and you need to submit." And then what happened? Those people fell and became rebellious and missed the boat instead of being in revival here because they think they're smarter than me. And actually, they're smarter than me. They were smarter than me. So you need to understand God's ways are not your ways. Amen? So you have to be careful. Don't use secular thinking in the church. So God called all of us to do different things. God may anoint somebody to be a businessman who make a lot of money to support the church. Though we don't criticize those people, that why don't they become a care group leader? And I agree with Pastor Cesar and the eldership team here that to be a care group leader is a little bit like more like a call to be a pastor. If you pick that position, that ministry in a church, it means you need to enjoy doing it. Don't do it out of position, doing out of the calling, the heart. And I will read that scripture later on. Look at this, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." So in other words, God will put each member into his own place in the body of Christ. We all are called to do different things. It's impossible for all of us to do the same thing, and it will not be a healthy church. Actually, a healthy church will have members that do every different things in different ministry of help. Some people are leaders, some people may be in worship team, some people may be in youth program. It's beautiful to have different things in the church, and we should honor one another and accept one another. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. "And as each one has received a gift, minister." What does it mean, minister? Serve it to one another as good steward of the manifold grace of God. In other words, God said that whatever you do is not your own ability. It's my grace. It's my gift. But you need to use that gift for the blessing of other people in the church. Amen? Amen? So, no matter who you are a pastor, you are evangelist, you are rec group members, you are care group leader, everyone is called to serve. There is no exception. There is no boss around here. Care group leader is not a boss. It's a servant. You are there to minister to one another. Minister means serve. So our calling is to serve, not to boss people, not to boss people around or to manipulate people around. But our responsibility is to serve. Amen? And you may not find your real calling until you serve in certain ministry that you may not be called to do until God one day drop in and say, "Okay, this is what I call you to do." Sometimes you may have to go through a process, a season of doing things that you may not even be called, may not be called to do. Because God wants to test your obedience. God wants to test your submission and your faithfulness. As I mentioned from the beginning, that I will begin to, I mean, in another session, not in this session, that I will begin to tell the congregation on a regular basis that the objective of being in the church is to grow spiritually, to save soul, to set the captive free, and to grow spiritually. It's not for entertainment. It's not to make you happy. It's not to make you feel comfortable. But you come here with expectation of growing in character, growing in your faith. And that process may be painful. You understand what I mean? So, I give you example like this. A brother in the church tried to help us to make organization become more organized in the church. Oh, at that time, for 6 months to a year, he suffered so much. He said, oh, so much headache. Oh, people don't understand. People this and that. And a year later, he came to me in my office and said, Pastor, now I look back. I thank God for all those suffering. Because the whole purpose of going through that suffering, of trying to reorganize the church in a more organized way, it looked very... I want to quit so many times. But he said, actually, the process is to make me grow. So I become more godly. So you see, God is concerned about your growth and your spiritual maturity than whatever you want to do. Or whatever your project. He's not concerned about your project. He's concerned about your spiritual growth, and you will be strong in your character and anointing to impact the world more than anything else. So sometimes you have to go through that process of grinding and pruning, and you have to go through hardships, doing something you don't like for a while. You're doing something that you're serving in the ministry that you are not called to do. You feel like, oh, I have to serve with this person. I don't like this person. He's mean. But that is a process of growth. As I mentioned a while ago, the church is not a social club. The church is not a Seahawks game. The church is not a place that people come to be entertained. We should avoid the secular, worldly mentality that come in, we're going to make you happy, and everyone's going to be fine. Happy, happy, happy. No. Jesus went to the cross, and he said, deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow me. Actually, I mentioned a while ago already that this morning I woke up and God spoke to me that don't forget the perspective of the kingdom. Don't try to build this church to be a consumer church. Let my people know this is it. This is my expectation for them, and take it. They have to go through hardships. They have to go through suffering. And they have to learn how to submit and learn how to work with one another, and don't try to make a church like a social club or sport club. People need to grow up. Amen. So, I believe that you will never go to a place where God really wants you to be unless you are willing to go through all this serving life, ministry of helps, serve somebody else, sitting under somebody, and trying to be faithful in serving. You will never get to that place until you are faithful doing that to the end, until the timing of God comes. Amen. You remember what Jesus said? Jesus said like this, I did not come to be served, but I came to serve. So Jesus set a good example. Amen. Now, the Bible says, Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering, means serve. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So you can see here that there are two aspects here. Some people are gifted to do something. Some people are gifted in leadership. Some people are gifted in teaching. Some people are gifted in evangelism. So, but there are another aspect we call roles. Every Christian has a role to give. Every Christian has a role to evangelize. Every Christian has the role to encourage and exhort people. Every Christian has the role to lead somebody in some way. But when you minister according to the gift you have, then you will be able to do with high anointing, higher anointing. So in the ministry of helps, when you help people in the church, you may need to do something that is not your gifting for a while, because it's a role to serve. You understand? And many times you don't even find your gift until you play all those roles, do that and do this, play the role in the church for a while, until one day, oh wow, I have this gift. You will never discover your gifting until you keep serving different things and being a part and faithful, commit yourself to serve for a while until you find your giftings and your anointing. Amen. You understand what I mean? So make sure that we don't reject serving in the area that we are not gifted yet. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me ask this question. Who chooses the gift for you? God. So, the gifts are chosen by God for you, not you. You cannot choose the gift. But what do? You discover the gift. You see? So, don't compare yourself with anyone else. And don't try to be somebody else. Your job is to serve until you discover your gifts and then flow in that gift. Amen. Don't try to be somebody else. Amen. I don't try to be like my Francine, brother my Francine. I don't think I'm my Francine. I'm not him. I don't try to be like him. And I'm not Pastor Kenneth Hagin either. So I need to find my gift and flow in my gift. Amen. Because God chose the gift for me. I don't try to be somebody else. And that's why I want to tell you, each church is unique. Unique because the gift that God gave to that pastor and to his eldership team and to the members are unique and different from another church. So each church has its own calling and its own purpose. Now I look back about our church. I look back and I talk to God and say, God, what do you call us to do? And I begin to see now that, God called us to minister to international people. God called us to minister to people that some people that cannot fit into any church. But they are for our church. They are unique for us. God called us to be in revival. God called us to be a church that trained disciples. God called us to be a serious church about moving on with God, not just coming to be entertained. And that's what God called us to be. Amen. So I believe that there are a lot of people out there that God called them to be here. And they will fit right into this church. And they cannot fit into another church. Like I mentioned a while ago that one sister, mentioned that she had been to check so many churches and they say, oh, this is the best for me. Actually, she didn't say this is the best church. She said, this is the best for me. So she joined in and I and Pastor Da told this couple that we appreciate you so much. You can choose so many churches. They are American couples. And we appreciate you so much that you chose this international congregation with a lot of Japanese and Thai and Asian and Latino. We appreciate that you choose us. Amen. So each church has different calling and different gifting. Now, let me ask you this question. Who is the big gun in the church? And who is a small gun? Is a pastor this big gun? And the archer is a small gun? No. There is only one gun, the body of Christ. We are all just bullets. And the hand of God will pull the trigger. And we, as the bullet, we go off and serve and do whatever the purpose of God. So I want to let you know that there is no big gun and small gun in the church. We are all bullets. This church cannot be healthy without the worship team. I'm just a part of it. Pastor Da and I are just a small part of this church. Without good Sunday school teachers, without good ushers, without Nita, who is running around trying to help the youth group with PJ, without the camp team, without the CD team, without office workers like office manager like Tai, we cannot make it this far. We all the bullets, and we need to work together as a team with one God who pulled the trigger. Is that God? You know, I tell you from the sincerity of my heart, I never thought that I'm more important than anyone in this church. I just feel that I'm just part of the team, that we work together in different positions in the football game. That's it. Some may be quarterback, some people may be a goalkeeper, some people may be in the front line and shooting the ball, you know, kicking the ball, but we all are part of the team and we need everybody. Amen? So there is only one room, and we want to encourage every member not to be spectators, but to be participators. Amen? Do people who have the gift of help have an anointing? Does that anointing less important than the pastor anointing or preacher anointing? No. Because the gift of help is mentioned in the Bible, and it's including in the gift of the Holy Spirit. So actually, when you minister in the gift of help, you are operating in the anointing of God. You are not less important than the preacher. Actually, the Sunday school teacher in there, when they are ministering to the kids, they are as important as me preaching on Sunday. You see what I mean? They are so important out there ministering with the anointing of God to the kids in the gift of helps. When the worship team go up and sing the song, they are ministering under the anointing of the ministry of helps. And they are flowing in the anointing as the same as the evangelists like Benny Hinn or Derek Prince or, you know, Billy Graham. They all move in the anointing. So you need to understand that when you serve God in the ministry of helps, you are moving and flowing in the anointing as well. It's not a natural, even though you do natural things, changing your diaper, directing traffic, greeting people, catching people, look very physical, okay? Making photocopy thing for the church, arranging the front, arranging the building or decorating the building or driving the van. When you drive the van, you are operating in the anointing of God as well. Amen. Remember this, whenever you serve, you are flowing in the anointing as well. You may not have a goosebump, you may not shake and clap in the spirit, but you are moving in, you are operating in the anointing of God. And those tasks or functions or ministries are as important as the preacher and evangelist and pastor. They are not low caste, they are not low class, they are not less important than the fivefold ministry gift. Amen. Look at this scripture, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God who works in you. Who works in you? God. Both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Okay, we are all anointed, and we should serve. We should help somebody. But in reality, God will put in your heart a desire for certain things, specific things. Like you see, God put the desire in Nita, Sister Nita, to minister to the youth and to build up the youth worship team. God put a special desire in PJ to have a special heart for the youth. God put a special desire for Candace to look after people in downtown Seattle. You see what I mean? So you need to discover that heart desire. You need to find out what God really put inside you. Some of you may like to do, to minister to students, college students. You enjoy doing it. You can do it all day, all night without being tired. You feel a lot of energy. You feel like you can push the big wall and push it down. Big wall. The wall of China. You can push it down. Even you are moving and ministering in the anointing and according to the heart desire that God plant in the garden of your heart. Look at verse 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field and you are God's building. So you are God's field. God what? Plant the heart desire in your heart. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 16 say, but thanks be to God who puts the same earnest care for you into the heart of Titus. You know what he means? This is interesting. If Paul called me today, long distance phone call, and say, Brother Varun, could you go and be a pastor of the Corinthian church? I would say, no way. That church has a lot of problem, a lot of carnalities. Ooh, I don't want to go to that church. No way, no way, no way. I need to pray and ask God first. But Paul said that God gave a special desire and earnest care into the heart of Titus to be the pastor of the church of Corinth. Who in the world want to be a pastor of that church? But Titus was willing to. You see what I mean? Titus was willing to be the pastor of that church because what? Because who put that desire? Who put that earnest care into his heart? God. You need to find that out. Because if you find your heart desire for the ministry of help, it doesn't matter how long, it doesn't matter how much you have to lose your sleep, it doesn't matter how hard, how many people criticize you, how many times people reject you. You know and you know that this is what God called me to do and to minister to. You're going to do it and you're going to enjoy doing it and you have strength and anointing and fun to do it. Because that is your heart desire. So I think everybody needs to discover not only your gift and your heart desire for the ministry of helps. And once you know exactly what God called you to do, now don't go by feeling. Don't go by circumstances. You know what I mean? It means this. God is going to test you. Maybe what God called you to do may look like fail. The first bat, the first time. And you begin to scratch your head and you begin to have doubt. Oh, did God call me to do this? Maybe not. You remember the book of James say in chapter 1, people who wavering like a wave of the sea will not get anything. You are wavering what God called you to do. You will not get anything from God. God say you need to be stable. If you sure God called you to do that, stick to it, even though the circumstances look like a failure, look like a lot of problem. People may walk out. Maybe God called you to be a care group leader. And then what happened? The first few sessions, people walk out and only two people show up. And you say, oh, maybe I should quit to be a care group leader. No, no, no. That is a test. God wants to test to see you're going to stick to it or not. I want to warn you, don't walk by sight. Don't walk by circumstances and don't walk by feelings. Walk by faith. Faith in what? Faith in what God speak to you and God call you to do. Amen? Amen. That is maturity. As I say, easy life will not make you grow. God gonna allow difficulty to come in to make you strong, mature, usable for God, powerful for God, because you go through that process of grinding and and pruning, and you know. So don't complain if difficulty happen in the ministry. It's a part of life. Actually, now I look back, I thank God at the time that I have to choose the Holy Spirit, an organization. And when I choose Holy Spirit, and I lost many friends. At that time, I was very upset. But now I look back, I thank God. Because it made me more mature and stronger. And I can put my eyes on God, not on people anymore. So my eyes are on God and say, it doesn't matter what people do. I'm going to keep walking by faith. I'm not going to be influenced by man anymore, by people's opinion anymore. I'm going to stick on what God called me to do. Amen. It actually shaken. It kind of tests your heart. What you want to do? I think God allowed that to happen in year 2002 for me. To test my calling, my heart. What God called me to do. Amen. So find your desire. Find what God planned into your heart. Now let me read this scripture. Exodus chapter 21 verses 1 to 6. Now these are the judgments which you shall set before them. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve 6 years, and in the seventh he shall go out free and pay nothing. Thank God, God gave people the chance to be free. If he comes in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife, and she has borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. But if the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl. Is that right? Awl. With an awl. Okay. And he shall serve him forever. Everyone say forever. You remember Paul called himself what? A born servant of Jesus Christ. So in other words, Paul said that I serve Jesus for life until I die. Like this slave that have the piercing of the ear say, I'm going to serve Jesus until I die. And I believe that in the body of Christ, God anointed many pastors, apostles, teachers of different churches. And out of this leadership, God will call a group of people to support these leaders for life. I don't mean that people who quit in the middle are wrong. Don't take the message wrong. I never criticize people who quit in the middle and say, oh, I change my pastor, now I leave, I go to another church. They are good people. We love them. God loves them. As long as they know God called them to do, bless them. Amen. But in reality, in the ministry, God will work in the heart of a group of people that will serve that pastor until he dies. You understand what I mean? We call what? Loyalty. One thing that I really admire Pastor Da is her loyalty. We have a few leaders in the body of Christ that have impacted our life so much. And many of them right now are already retired and very elderly. Like Pastor Cornish, Pastor Cobb, Dan Cobb, many people. Pastor Da would send money to these people, would call them, went to their home to clean up the house for them, and try every way to go visit them off and on. She asked me again when we're going to go to Kentucky to visit Pastor Dan Cobb. Pastor Dan Cobb ministered to us only for 3 years, but his life impacted us so much in those 3 years. This is a born servant. You know what I mean? Loyal. And even though Pastor Dan Kopp is a Southern Baptist, and we are charismatic, but we still loved him so dearly. So the same, God is looking for Elisha, who say, as long as God live, as long as you live, I will go with you. You remember Elijah tried to go to, I think, 3 or 4 cities, Jericho, Bethel, and something, Jordan. He wanted to test Elisha's heart to say, okay, I'm going to go, you stay here, that's okay, you stay here. But Elisha said, no, as long as I live, as long as God live, and as long as you live, I will go with you. So Elisha is that kind of servant that he stuck to his master or his pastor to the end. And after his pastor died, he got double portion of anointing. You know, you need to really settle your heart who you are serving. I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm talking about human being. You know who are you serving. And once you make that decision, then you are loyal and faithful and try to get rid of every negative idea that come against that man. I tell you, the devil will try every way to talk to you to miss the will of God. For example, if God tell Romero that, okay, I call you to serve Pastor so-and-so until I move you to do something else, I mean, or you go out and plant a church or something. In that course of being loyal and serving that pastor, the devil going to try to show you some negative and weakness of that pastor, show you his mistake, and show you many things that you will second guess the call of God in your life and say, should I serve this man? I think he not as godly as I thought. But actually, he's a human being. He makes mistakes, and he doesn't know everything. So you need to guard your heart carefully, not to judge, not to criticize the man of God. Again, this lesson is talking about ministry of help, the people who help the pastor, who help to fulfill the vision of a pastor. So that's why I mentioned about this loyalty issue. Amen? So you need to be careful to really check your heart. You need to guard your heart all the time, because the devil will try to challenge your commitment and challenge your loyalty to the man of God that God called you. You need to settle in your heart. Talk to God. Am I belonging here? Am I serving this man? If you settle, if you do it, believe me, God will bless you. God will really anoint you, do everything, grace you, favor you, everything. Many times, Pastor Rodney will say like this, if you help the man of God that God put you under to fulfill his vision, he will help you to fulfill your vision. You understand what I mean? If God, because it's holy and honorable that you help the man that God called him to do, to fulfill the vision from heaven for him that God called him to do. So you support him fully. At the same time, God will grace you around, come and say, whatever you want to do, I will fulfill it for you. And that's what I and Pastor Da try to do. Or this year, we have some good friend, we have some minister that we respect, and we try to do anything to help them to fulfill their vision. And God really helped me too. We reap what we sow. We sow love to them, helping them, supporting them. We reap what we sow. God is helping me. You see what I mean? So you need to settle in your heart. This is a spiritual principle. You see, what I'm talking here is not in the world. This is not in the world system. A businessman come in. If I get benefit, I stay with you. If you don't pay me enough, I quit this job. So you can see that you cannot use secular system in the church. It's all heavenly things, heavenly heart, the heart of God. So be careful. Don't let secular thinking contaminate you. Don't use the worldly system in the church. This is not the worldly system. We operate by the heavenly principle. Amen. I want to close this teaching by reading this scripture, and then I will continue next time. And he, Ephesians 4:11 to 12, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Okay. In each local church or in each group of churches, God appoints and anoints some to be prophet, apostle, evangelist, teachers, and pastors. What are their jobs? What are their main jobs? Equip the saints, helping the saints to mature into the fullness of Christ. That's why God told me this morning that from now on, tell the congregation on Sunday off and on that this is the deal. Okay, you go to university to sit in the class for 4 years. What is the perspective and the deal? The deal is that you go to school, study, do homework, and graduate. So I want member to know that you come to church, you become a member of the church. The deal is this. We're going to do everything that you will grow. And you need to be strong, grow in your character, even though you feel uncomfortable. I think if people can settle this issue, it will be easier to be in the church with pastor, teacher, apostle, prophet that follow what the Bible says. Is that right? Because our job as a pastor is not to make you feel comfortable or to make you happy and smiling. Our job is to equip you and make you grow. And that process can be painful, can be uncomfortable. Now, in order for these fivefold ministry leaders to fulfill this calling of God upon the members and upon the body of Christ, they have to be protected from the snares of the enemy. I give you last Sunday. I walk out of the room. Suddenly somebody come to my face and point to me. I have this problem in the church right now. What is going on? You know, in other words, instead of I'm doing the job of seeking the will of God, trying to give direction, prepare the food, the devil will try to distract me, make me busy with little things, little quarrel in the church, so that I will run around making phone call, email, and do all these things. And eventually, I don't have time to listen to God and don't have time to pray and seek God's direction because I am bombarded by all these issues. Oh, if I'm going to pray for people, they're going to fall down and who going to catch them? Then before I pray, I cannot focus on God because I'm concerned about people falling or the kids crying in the room there. So you need to understand that if you want to fulfill the heart of God for the church, one thing you can do is to help the pastor and evangelist and apostle, prophet to focus on what they are called to do. Is to what? Equip and help the saint to grow mature. You need to surround this pastor and protect them from being cheated by the enemy. And then you know what happens if you don't help the pastor to do all this natural thing in the church suffers itself. Amen. Actually, a lot of things that happen in this church come by the voice of the Holy Spirit. Like why I go into the direction of casting out demons, because one day God spoke to me. I was praying, seeking God, and God said, you need to learn about casting out demons. Then I began to study. And then one day God spoke to me this, and God spoke, if I don't have time, I get involved with too much stuff, or the daily stuff in a church, then I will not have time to listen to God, and I will not have time to focus. And not only that, the pastor will equip you to be mature. You know, mature Christian, what they do? What mature people do? Not only to have character, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. One of the characteristics of mature people are this. Build up and add to the welfare of God's family. Is that right? Are you mature people? Two, learn to minister and help and serve other people. Mature people will learn how to serve and help other people. They will help pastor, not hinder pastor. People who hinder pastor are not mature people. They are very immature. People who are mature will support and help the pastor to run the church smoothly and make the church move to the next level together. So the ministry of help, in fact, is to be a part of helping the fivefold ministry gifts to fulfill the heart of Jesus in the church, that is to equip the saints and help them to grow mature into the fullness of Christ. Amen. So if the pastor run around changing diapers, reading worship, driving the bus, picking up the garbage can, vacuuming, arranging the chair, run around, doing everything himself on Sunday, and during the week, get all the email complaining, all the phone call, I couldn't sleep, I need sleeping pill, and I quarrel with that person all the time. You know, if it happened all the time, I would not be able to do what God calls me to do, is to focus and listen to the voice of God, you know, lead the church. Like I'm going to Thailand next week, I need to really listen to God a lot, what God want me to do over there. I want the perfect will of God in that trip. Like I just got email from India, want me to go to do crusade. So the first thing I do, I pray, God, is this your will? I don't want to spend time in the wrong way. I want your perfect will for this church. I want to make sure that we spend money in the right way. You see, it's a lot of decision making, that if I'm too busy, I cannot make the right decision. I will be too tired or too distracted to make the right choice. So ministry of help relieve the pastor to do the main decision to get direction from God in the church. You remember Moses in Numbers chapter 11, he could not take care of millions of people anymore. What did he do? He appointed 70 elders to look after, as a ministry of help, to look after the congregation so that Moses can have more time to listen to God and to give direction to the whole congregation. And you know what the Bible say? I like that part. Moses, God said like this. God took the spirit of Moses and put into that 70 elders. So in other words, people who really wholeheartedly support the pastor and evangelist and what the fivefold ministry gift in the church, you will receive the anointing flowing from the head down. You will move under the anointing of God that God gave to the pastor. How many people read the email? I know that this, I'm translating this email right now and going to ask Jocelyn to polish it and put in the website. It's interesting. I will close here after I share this story. Pirate's niece, 1.5-year-old Christian, serving in the church as an usher and doing a lot of stuff. You know, really faithful. This woman is only 23 years old. Very faithful woman. Love God. And last Sunday, she went out to be prayed for by Pastor Noom. And she said, I want quadruple anointing. And she said, because today, 3 new believers didn't come to church. So because they didn't come to church, I want to bring the fire of God in this church to bless them. So she got prayed for. I don't know what happened to her. She didn't mention. But she went home and fell asleep. She woke up at 10 p.m., late at night, 10 p.m. God, Holy Spirit told her, grab the CD and grab the Bible, our teaching CD in Thai. She walked up to that room, to the bedroom of these 3 woman tailors. They have a business of making clothes. And then she walked in there and sit together in a circle and say, let's pray. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit came down, touch all of them. And this is just a 23-year-old lady who received anointing from Pastor Num to minister on the behalf of the pastor in that bedroom for him, because the three members didn't go to church. And then she said that she feel like the Holy Spirit just gave her so boldness, and she began to pray in boldness. I mean, she said, I couldn't believe that I did this. And after a while, all the people get touched by God. After a while, God told her, cast out demon. She said, cast out demon? Okay. She began to say, in Jesus' name, demon go out. And then demon go out of these ladies, three ladies. And the presence of God was filled the room. And after a while, God said, I give you anointing of teaching right now. She opened her mouth and began to teach them like this. Teach them, taught them the Bible. In other words, they have a service there at 10:30 at night. She represents the pastor to do the ministry for these people. They cry, and they learn, and they're hungry, they want to learn. And at the end, they say, I could not read the Bible. They all are uneducated people. She said, oh, thank God, God told me to grab the CD. This is CD, free, go for it. They clap their hand and say, thank God you gave a CD to listen. And then after that, she said that the anointing left, and she feels so tired. She went back to her room and feel like a normal person again. But she said during that period of 2 hours in that room, she was so full of anointing of God that she received the quadruple anointing that she asked God for. You notice? I want to make it simple. Oh, Pastor, what is your vision? What do you want to do in this church? Simple. Isn't here. Full gospel. Jesus came to save the lost, cast out demons, teach, preach, heal the sick, make disciples, train leaders. Simple. We all should do that. We should teach, preach, make disciples, cast out demons, lay hand on the sick, save the lost. Is it simple? And you can get that anointing from the pastor, and you can do it. But during the meantime, in the church on Sunday or whatever, serve the pastor in the ministry of help. Do the best to serve him, and the anointing will come on you. If that 23-year-old lady, simple, you know her, Cheng, her name is Cheng. If she can do it, you can do it. But you have to go with hunger and want that anointing from the pastor. Amen? Oh, when I want to put that in the website. To show the world that God used a simple 23-year-old lady to do mighty thing if you are willing to be anointed by the Holy Spirit and serve faithfully in the local church. Nothing big deal. Amen. So, we come back next time and learn more about the ministry of helps. Why don't we pray? Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we thank you for your anointing. We thank you for the anointing of the ministry of helps, Father. We love you. We want to build the church according to your word and according to your will. Father, we don't want to make it too complicated. It's so simple, Father, that we want to follow your will in the Bible to save the lost, to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to make disciples, to teach, to preach, to spread the gospel, to proclaim the name of Jesus. Father, use every one of us here. While we are serving you in the ministry of helps, serving one another, serving the pastor and leaders, serving the needy in the church, the children and other people. While we're doing that, Father, please pour out your anointing, flow into all of us, that when we go into the mission field, when we go to the workplace, when we go into our neighborhood and we begin to preach, we begin to minister, the anointing of God will flow through us like that lady, Father. And we will see miracles happen as we faithful in serving you in the ministry of help. But you're going to send us out into the world and to do great mighty things for you. Father, we are not here for position. We are not serving out of titles. We are serving as a servant, born servant of God, all the days of our life, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. May God bless you. Thank you for listening and Please share this teaching CD with your members. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.